Good evening. I've been thinking about the missions training that we've had. There's a missions trip going to Arizona again. This year it's different. It was open to the assembly, anybody that wanted to go. And there's a group of older folks and younger folks. But because it's not just youth group people, I've been thinking about it in a different way because I have experience and there's other people that are going that may not know or have seen or heard what I know. So one of the things I was thinking about, because we've had about every other week we meet and we're training, was that we need to stay hydrated. And the Lord had used that in my mind. I don't remember on another trip, but it's possible that it carried over. But that I needed to stay hydrated both physically and spiritually. So I started maybe 8 weeks ago pulling a lot of verses using the internet about water in the Bible. And water in the Bible is found in so many different ways, standing for many different illustrations. And it pretty much overwhelmed me. So I've now studied a decent amount over 2 months, and I believe that I have a less grasp of what I know now than what I thought I had when I wanted to start studying. So, having said all that, that's what brought me to now. I don't have a clear, concise message with 3 points, but I want to share with you what I've been reading and learning, and I'm going to ask something of you that may not work well for all of you, but I feel that this is how I want to go about this. So I am going to, first I'm going to read a description out of the internet about being severely dehydrated. It is likely that you will be hospitalized and put on intravenous hydration for up to 24 hours to recover from this dehydration, or until you're able to drink oral rehydration fluid yourself. When you are severely dehydrated, you need to put back a lot of fluid, and it needs to be balanced with the nutrients that your body usually contains. And so, since dehydration can be life-threatening, it is important that you replenish your body with water immediately. What I'm going to ask of you folks is to try in your mind to apply, like the verse that I thought of to start with when I started this was, you know, washing of the water of the word through your mind. Ephesians 5:26 was where Jesus was telling that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. And then on Easter Sunday, the verse that struck me that changed my study to be a lot more intense was John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And I started thinking, well, I know he thirsted because he was man. And then because of the Holy Spirit aspect of water and being filled, and the Holy Spirit is that well within us that leads to salvation, I was thinking, well, the Father turned his back on Jesus at that point. So he had had the other type of thirst as well. I can't fully understand it. It was a picture that crossed my mind. So as I read this next part, I want you to think of, I'm going to read about physical dehydration, and I want you to try to think of the parallels for being spiritually dehydrated. So I'm putting something on you. If you don't learn anything through this, I'm pretending it wasn't my fault. So here we go. Water plays such an immense role in your bodily functions, making it an essential part of your everyday life. You can see how being spiritually hydrated would be a part of your everyday life. Always bring a bottle of water with you during exercise or on any physical activity, especially when the temperatures are hot. One good rule of thumb is to prevent dehydration is to drink as much water as it takes for your urine to turn light yellow. Dark urine means that your kidneys are retaining liquids in an effort to have enough for your body to perform its normal functions. So this shouldn't be where man prefers darkness rather than light. So I'm going to ask you these questions, like, are there bad hydrations? Sports drinks are one of the most commercialized beverages today. From TV advertisements to popular athlete endorsements, mainstream media make it look like drinking them will keep you healthy and well hydrated. I could see that preach for a minute. Aside from sports drinks, there are other sweetened beverages that won't give you any benefit, like sodas. There are equally unhealthy for you, as a 20-ounce bottle of cola gives you 16 teaspoons of sugar, usually in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Commercial fruit juices are another group of sweetened drinks that have too many sugars and not enough value to make them useful for hydration purposes. For example, Minute Maid's 100% apple juice contains 49 grams of sugar in a 15.2-ounce bottle. So I was reading about hydration, and I thought that it was beneficial to me. And so what I'm going to try to make as a parallel, is there a wrong way to do the right thing? And then I pulled something out of Scripture. So God said, "Behold, I will stand before you here on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. That was Exodus 17:6. So later on, God tells Moses to speak to the rock, promising to make water flow in the desert again. However, Moses struck the rock, and this was significant enough in God's eyes as an offense that Moses was no longer permitted to bring the people into the promised land. So there are significant consequences if we don't do things God's way. So I'm just going to read that scripture very quickly to remind us. "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have done this, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." So did God have compassion on the people and give them water? Yes. Did Moses and Aaron do what they were commanded of God to do? Not properly. Was there significant consequences? Well, I've been reading this, and I feel like that I now have greater responsibility towards doing what God says and how he says it. So, possibly Moses and Aaron thought sports drinks were the way to go. So, I want to move towards washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God is often referred to in the Bible because the Word acts as water acts as a cleansing agent, which is the Word. I can't seem to read what I have printed. It was in complete sentences. But that explains what Paul meant when he wrote concerning Jesus is cleansing the church, that he might sanctify her, having her cleansed by washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. And that's from Ephesians 5:26-27. Ezekiel writes about where God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. And that's Ezekiel 36:25. While the author of Hebrews writes, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. And then from there, I had this interesting set of thoughts that I had to look up. So there's been a little bit of mystery behind the meaning where John refers to the water in 1 John 5:7-9. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. We know the Spirit refers to God, the Holy Spirit, and he convicts the sinner and points them to their need for a Savior. We know that the blood of Christ, we know what the blood of Christ represents. The blood takes away our sins, but the Word of God might be the water. And God and John is referring to these three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, as a trifold work of God that saves us. So I wanted to then share how I found that sometimes cleansing can appear, it appears to be negative. So I'll bring another story that we all know. Genesis 7:17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. As this Genesis story goes, humankind sin was so horrendous that God became immensely grieved. And as a way of purging the evil, he sent a flood to wipe out the wickedness from the earth, except for Noah and his family and two of every kind of animal. Most of us know the story. However, there is some insight into what water means in the Bible when one reads the passage. Water here is used as the purging or cleansing agent, and it appears to be negative since the water is so destructive. Yet it was used to literally cleanse the earth away from all that was evil and unholy. So throughout Scripture, water is often used in this meaning. So Genesis 7:7, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So Noah had to do something, and it was his responsibility to obey. And then I wanted to go into the fountains of living water, which originated my thoughts. When we go on the missions trip, I thought that I should be filled with the Holy Spirit, who indwells me all the time. But I think it needs to be that gushing well that just shows up. We don't go to the mission station to say, you folks are doing all this wrong. You know, y'all got to turn to Christ and turn from this. And, you know, that's not going to be well received. So you kind of have to show up and say, this is what God's done for me, and it's pretty great. And you share it, and they see it. So in John 4:14, I don't have a clock, so I have to keep looking at my phone. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the story that I placed with this is the woman in John 4, I think it starts at verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of the water will be of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. And so we've already read that Jesus is the source of the living water. It's not a new idea. It's not only found in the New Testament, It's also found in the Old Testament. Jeremiah writes, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water," which is Jeremiah 2:13. And again, this reference is used in Jeremiah 17:3, where the prophet writes, "Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." The source of this living water is Jesus, and since Jesus is God, it refers to himself as the fountain or the source of the living waters. But sadly, then, as they do today, forsake the fountain of living water. So I wanted to just conclude by saying, are you severely dehydrated? And, you know, Shannon Hills, not everybody's going on the missions trip, but there are people who pay. There's people who pray. There's people who have taught in Sunday school to prepare. You know, iron sharpens iron. We're a group of believers that acts as a living organism for Christ. We're the body of Christ. So there's hands, there's feet. So we need to be hydrated. I was looking for Chad Cecil. I think he went to the doctor Monday a week ago for being dehydrated. And yep, I see the Cecils now. He passed out in the doctor's office. So if he's not conscious, how useful is he? He wasn't very useful, except for maybe helping the doctor make a boat payment. I don't know. So how bad can the need for water be is my question. And I'll read this verse, Luke 16:24. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." There's a big difference between being this thirsty and thirsting no more, which is what Jesus offered. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I appreciate what you've shared with me in your word. I pray that you will use it to speak to somebody tonight. Lord, we do thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to indwell us the moment we accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will help yourself to be seen through us, that we will be living wells of water within us that are just overflowing to everyone around us, and that others will see your love through us, Lord. And we do pray that you will take away these other distractions in life that could be compared to soft drinks. Or, Lord, we just know that you're the only true one God, and we do serve you, and we just pray that we will bring you glory with our lives. And we just, in thinking of the missions trip, Lord, I pray that you will go before us and speak to the ones on the mission station and the ones that we might meet coming and going, Lord, and that you'll work in our hearts as an assembly to bring glory to you through this. And if it be your will, Lord, I pray that there will be people whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of it. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.